Good morning, everybody. God bless you. Welcome into the house of the Lord today. Let's stand together. Good to see your faces. Let's prepare our hearts to worship the Lord. Father, we come before your presence this morning in the beautiful name of Jesus, your Son. And Lord, we thank you so much for your amazing grace. Your word says this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. He loved us first. And he sent his Son to be the sacrifice for our sins. So, Father, we praise you this morning with glad and grateful hearts. We've come to celebrate you, your goodness, and your amazing grace this morning. Come on, let's worship Jesus together. thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you that you're a miracle-working God. We thank you that your power, God, is released on behalf of the children whom you love.
Here. Looks like we're surrounded by your presence, that you alone can break every single chain. You alone protect us from the fiery darts of the enemy. You are our sword and our shield. Thank you, Jesus. You are our comfort. You are our rock. You are our salvation.
I will not fear. His promise is true. My God will come through. Always, always.
Amen. So, Father, right here in this moment, we worship you. Come on, give him your praise. Come on. Lord, our praises fill this temple because you are good. And Father, we look to you always. We thank you for this time. We thank you for the ability to meet with you intimately. Father, I ask that your Holy Spirit would sweep through the rest of this service, and that you would just be with us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. At this time, you can turn and greet your neighbor, give them an air high five.
All right. God bless you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Harvest Time. We're so glad that you've joined us for worship today. Welcome to everyone who is worshiping with us online this morning at the 8:30 service. Thank you, Pastor Nick. Thank you, Caleb. Thank you, worship team. Didn't they do a great job leading us this morning? We want to thank you so much for just faithfully supporting Harvest Time with your offerings during this shutdown and during this slow reopening season. You know, summer is always faith-building time when it comes to finances. We usually count on a very strong spring to carry us through the slower summer months when people are on vacations and out enjoying the good weather. And this year, right in the middle of our spring season, we had 12 weeks of shutdown. But we want to thank you so much for just continually supporting our church, sending the tithe, remembering giving to missions and to our building fund. We thank the Lord. If you told me in the middle of March that we would be shut down for 12 weeks, I wouldn't have believed that financially we would have been able to keep carrying all the costs of the building and survive that. But thank God for his faithfulness. We want to thank you for your faithfulness. Many people who were not giving online previously started giving online, and you can give your tithe or offerings anytime to HT Church at our website, htchurch.com. Some people who weren't giving by text previously started giving by text. Information for that is in your bulletin. We're not going to pass an offering plate this morning because of social distancing, but there are offering receptacles at all of the entrances and exits, and you can drop your offering. If you brought one, you can drop your offering in one of those boxes as you leave the sanctuary this morning. Just want to say to the folks that are joining us online, if you would like an outline of today's sermon, there is a link to a PDF that's available in the chat section of the live stream. If you just click on that PDF link, you can download a PDF of today's sermon outline. You can print that out if you like, and you can use that to follow along with the sermon today. Just before we read the word and I share what the Lord has put on my heart, I want to invite you to just join me in prayer. Many of you know our precious sister, Connie Morris. Connie was one of the very first people who started with Harvest Time when it was just six people back in 1984. Connie has been part of our fellowship for 36 years. Overnight, Connie was admitted to the hospital, and her family is just asking for our prayers today for Connie. So just before we read the word, would you join with me, and let's just pray, and let's just lift up our precious sister. Lord, we thank you so much for our friend, for our sister in Christ, Connie Morris. Lord, we thank you so much for her love. We thank you so much for the ways that she has served, touched our lives. And Lord, right now she's in need of your touch. So Father, we pray that you would just reach down your hand, Lord, in Greenwich Hospital. Lord, we pray that you would touch her body. We pray, Father, that she would just feel your presence with her. Lord, I pray that you'd comfort her. And Lord, we just thank you that Connie is in your hands and we're in your hands.
and we trust you completely. Lord, as we receive your word today, I just pray that you would speak to us. I pray that each one of us would hear something from you. If your heart agrees with that, would you just say amen and amen with me? If you have your Bibles or your Bible apps, I want to invite you to go with me to Judges chapter 6. And we started sharing last week about the story of Gideon. I want to talk this morning for a few minutes about calling young leaders, calling young leaders. Judges chapter 6, we read at the beginning of Judges 6 last week, we read how Israel was unfaithful to the Lord. They worshiped false gods. They worshiped idols. And for 7 years, the Lord allowed the Midianites to trample Israel. Finally, after 7 years, you know, it's amazing how long we'll suffer. It's amazing how much we'll endure and how long we'll endure before we finally humble ourselves and ask God for a little bit of help. So finally, after 7 years, Israel cried out to the Lord, and God answered them. So that's where we're going to pick up the story. Judges chapter 6, beginning in verse 7. I have a bit more scripture than usual that I'm going to read this morning, but I want you to hear this story because I have some things to share. Judges 6, starting in verse 7, the Bible says, "When the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet." Aren't you so glad that when we're in crisis, God speaks into our crisis? "He sent them a prophet who said, 'This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians. I drove them out before you, gave you their land. I delivered you from the hand of all your oppressors. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live, but you haven't listened to me.'" Uh-oh. Verse 11, "The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak tree in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, 'The Lord is with you, princely warrior.' 'Pardon me, my lord,' Gideon replied, 'but if the Lord really is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and he's given us into the hand of Midian." The Lord, I want you to, if you're reading in your Bible, your paper Bible, and you take notes, I want you to underline these words in verse 14. I'm going to preach. I want you to underline these words, Judges 6:14. "The Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?' 'Pardon me, my lord,' Gideon replied, 'but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my family.' The Lord answered, 'I will be with you, and I will strike down all the Midianites together as one person.' Gideon replied, 'If I have now found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Please don't go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you.' And the Lord said, 'I'll wait until you return.' Gideon went inside. He prepared a young goat, and from an ephah of flour, that's about 25 pounds of flour, he made bread without yeast. Putting the meat in a basket and the broth in a pot, he brought them out and offered them to the Lord under the oak. The angel of God said to him, 'Take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them on the rock, pour out the broth.' Gideon did so. Then the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread with the tip of the staff in his hand. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the Lord, he exclaimed, 'Alas, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. But God said to him, here's another place if you're reading out of your Bible and you're taking notes and highlighting and underlining. Here's another thing to underline right here in verse 23. But the Lord said to him, Shalom, peace. Do not be afraid. You're not going to die. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it Yahweh Shalom. The Lord is peace. To this day, it still stands in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. Going to read two more verses and we're done. The same night, the Lord said to him, take the second bull from your father's herd, the one that's 7 years old. Tear down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole. That's like a totem pole with the goddess Asherah on it. Cut down the Asherah pole beside it. Then build, listen, then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God on top of this hill. Using the wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down, offer the second bull as a burnt offering. Won't read the rest of the story, but Gideon does that night exactly as the Lord commanded. Let's talk for a few minutes this morning about calling young leaders. Calling young leaders. Right now, we're talking about little things that God uses in big ways. Last week, we started talking about Gideon. He was a young adult. He was the youngest member in his family. And this dialogue between God and Gideon in the wine press, it is one of the most beautiful personal encounters between God and a man in the Old Testament. And I believe God wants to speak to us this morning through this dialogue. You know, no one expected 2020 to be like it has. And the year is only half over. But I believe that God is up to something very big in this season. I want you to hold on to this truth. All of human history is His story. From start to finish, He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and He is the end and He is everything in between. Psalm 2 says that the kings of the earth rise up against the Lord and against His anointed ones. That's us. But He who is enthroned in the heavens just laughs at them. God is pulling the strings of those who think that they're pulling the strings on our government and on our economy and our society. You remember Jesus said to Pilate, He said, you would have no authority over me except what my Father has given to you. When the Jewish leaders and the Roman authorities, instigated by evil spirits, crucified Jesus, they unwittingly played right into God's own predetermined plan. St. Paul wrote, if they had known that Jesus was going to triumph through the cross, they would have never crucified Him. And listen, it is still true today. Jesus always wins, always. The technology giants, the media moguls, the economic manipulators, the politicians and the pundits, the Marxist agitators, they are all pawns in God's hands. And whatever goes down will be part of God's bigger plan. I really feel that somebody needs to do this. I feel that you need to write these words on a post-it note. History is His story. Put it on the corner of your flat screen television. Put it on your desktop monitor or use it as a screensaver on your smartphone, wherever you read your news or wherever you watch your news. You need to remind yourself, history is His story. And don't succumb. Don't give in to fear-mongering. Don't let yourself become overwhelmed by anxiety. There's a great verse in the Psalms that says, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. They can never be moved, and they endure forever. Here's what I believe God is up to in 2020. I believe that God is turning toward the generations of young Americans. I believe that God is turning toward the millennials, young adults from 25 to 40, and Generation Z behind him, those who are 24 and under. There is an amazing moment in the wine press. Gideon doesn't know to whom he is speaking. Inadvertently, he mouths off about God to God. He attacks God's character, God's faithfulness. But I love this. It says in verse 14 that God turned toward Gideon. God's love for Gideon wasn't changed by Gideon's youthful ignorance. God's purpose for Gideon was undeterred by Gideon's youthful insolence and indiscretion. God wasn't turned off by Gideon. God turned toward Gideon. And it's true, God is not turned off by today's generations of younger Americans. God is turning toward them. And I truly believe that the upheaval of 2020 is a precursor of a move of God that is headed in our direction. Upheaval precedes revival. Right now, God is calling young leaders to be at the forefront of what he's about to do, I believe starting even this fall. The word that I have to share this morning, it's for everybody, but it's especially, I believe, for young adults in your 20s, in your 30s. God wants to speak very personally to you. God wants to speak to the graduating class of 2020, high school and college graduates. God is calling you out. God is calling you to be different in order to make a difference. God's calling you to be leaders. Very quickly, I want to share four statements with young leaders today. Four statements with young leaders. The first statement is this. You can, on your way in, you received an outline. If you like, you can watch the screens, listen, fill in the blanks, follow along. Four statements for young leaders. Number one, God is calling young leaders to peace. God is calling young leaders to peace. When I look at young Gideon in the wine press, I see some similarities with young adults today. Gideon was scared, and there are a lot of young adults who are scared today as well. Gideon saw a lot of problems in his society. He didn't see a very promising future for himself and for his peers. And I've spoken with some young adults who feel the same way. They're worried about their ability to earn a living, and they're worried about their ability to keep what they've earned. They feel that their parents, the boomers, if you will, had a lot more opportunities when they were young. And they can be a little bit dismissive. Maybe you've heard that expression, okay, boomer. That's the younger generation's way of invalidating the input of the older generations. I was corresponding recently back and forth with a young adult who grew up here at HTC. He lives on the West Coast now. Just like me, he had to put himself through college. But he was complaining that my generation had it a lot easier than his generation. So finally, after we wrestled for a while, I said to him, you know, I said, you're right. We are keeping the money trees a secret from you. When we were young, we all had money trees in our backyard, and all we had to do was go out in the backyard and just pick as much as we needed at any time. Truth is, I worked 2 and 3 jobs at a time to put myself through college and graduate school. Gideon was cynical. And some young adults today are cynical as well. When the Lord appeared to Gideon in the form of an angelic man, the Lord said to Gideon, "The Lord is with you." And Gideon snapped back at him, "If the Lord really is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are all his wonders?" You know, can't really blame Gideon at all. Gideon grew up in a time in Israel when there was a form of godliness in place, but there was no power in it. Gideon grew up with dead religion, and he wanted to see something real. And we've heard from our own students, we've heard from our own young adults the same thing. We've heard your stories about miracles and about revivals. Where is it all today? You know, it's a valid question. Gideon was very superstitious, but he was scripturally illiterate. Gideon was eager to see supernatural signs, but his knowledge of the word was incomplete at best. When Israel cried out to God because of the Midianites, God sent them a prophet with a confrontational message. I brought you up out of Egypt. I brought you up out of the house of slavery. I delivered you from your oppressors. I gave you their land, but you have worshiped false gods instead of me. It's kind of funny, but in this dialogue in the wine press, Gideon spits back the first part of the prophetic message, but he leaves out the last part that confronts Israel's unfaithfulness. God said he brought us out of Egypt, but now he's put us in the hand of Midian. So snarky, so self-righteous. I have observed, if you'll forgive me, that millennials have a gift for snark that far surpasses anything that my generation was ever gifted to do. But Gideon conveniently leaves out the issue of Israel's idolatry. And I find that some young adults are like that today. Their knowledge of the word is incomplete at best, especially when it comes to the wonderful person of Jesus. They believe in a caricature of Jesus as they like to imagine him, rather than as Jesus is really revealed in the scriptures. Maybe you heard this last week that CNN's Don Lemon said on air that Jesus admittedly wasn't perfect on earth. You know, I'm so sorry for him. He doesn't know that Jesus fulfilled all the righteousness of the Jewish law and the prophets in his beautiful life. Not just the letter of the law, but the whole spirit of the law as well. And honestly, sincerely, from the bottom of my heart, I pray that Don Lemon and Chris Cuomo, I pray that they experience Jesus as he truly is. When Gideon finally realizes that he has been talking back and talking smack to the Lord, Gideon fears for his life. He has a moment of repentance. He has a moment of brokenness. He has a moment of godly sorrow. He apologizes to the Lord. But listen, listen, this is what I absolutely love. I love what the Lord says to him. Shalom. Don't be afraid, Gideon. Shalom is the peace that comes from being in a covenant relationship with God. Shalom is the peace that God has got my back. It's the assurance that God loves me and cares for me. It's the affirmation that God accepts me. It's the security that God is protecting me. It's the confidence that God will provide for me. It's the serenity that God is going to guide my footsteps today and all the way home. I really feel that there's some graduate of the class of 2020, and right now you're freaking out a little bit because in this shutdown and this whole crazy world we live in, you're not sure what you're going to do next or where you're going to go next. I feel the Lord just saying to your spirit, Shalom. Don't be afraid. God's got you. I want you to catch this. When Israel called out to God because of upheaval in their society, the way God responded was by calling a scared, cynical, snarky, self-righteous, superstitious, scripturally illiterate young leader. God made a personal visit to him, and at an altar of sacrifice, God led Gideon into peace with God first, and then into inner peace. And that is where spiritual awakenings always begin, with a leader who first makes peace with God and then finds God's peace within himself. What God did for Gideon, God wants to do again for our up-and-coming generations. God is coming in this season to make some personal visits at an altar of sacrifice, the cross of Jesus Christ. God wants to make peace between God himself and young Americans, and he wants to lead them out of their angst and frustration and self-pity and out of their anger and into inner peace. God wants shalom for our young adults and teenagers, not turmoil and pain. Can I tell you, before we even move on, I just feel that the Holy Spirit wants to minister to somebody today. God sent His only Son, Jesus, to die on a cross as a sacrifice for our sins so that we can have peace with Him and experience shalom. And God wants to move anxiety. He wants to remove frustration. He wants to remove anger. He wants to replace it with His peace. Gideon built an altar and he named it Yahweh Shalom. The Lord is my peace. I want you to make that confession with me this morning. Would you say that with me? Let's say together, Yahweh Shalom. The Lord is my peace. Come on, would you say that with me? Yahweh Shalom. The Lord is my peace. I want you to say it one more time. Yahweh Shalom. The Lord is my peace. Four statements for young leaders. Number one, God is calling young leaders to peace. Number two, God is calling young leaders to pull down their parents' idols. God is calling young leaders to pull down their parents' leaders. I want everybody to catch this morning. Listen, the details in the Bible. Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The details that are in the Bible, that they take a little bit of work to read them, to absorb them, to find out what they mean, but every detail is important. When God comes calling on Gideon, God sits down under a special tree that belongs to Joash, Gideon's father. Joash is the head of a large family. And the old oak tree is where he conducts all the family business and all the business of the village. The oak tree, is like town hall, if you will. It's where decisions are made. It's where disputes are settled. It's where justice is administered. And so listen, as the head of the family, Joash would sit under the tree and he would lead the family. It's just like Deborah in Judges chapter 4, leading Israel, sitting under a particular palm tree. This detail, it matters. It's important. The Lord didn't just come and plop down under any old oak tree. The Lord sat under Joash's tree in Joash's seat. The Lord was coming to reclaim His rightful authority over Joash's family through Gideon, the youngest member of the family. The word judge in the book of Judges means a deliverer, a rescuer, a good leader. And God showed up under that oak tree to become the deliverer and become the good leader of Gideon's family. See, the family had moved away from God. They still believed in God. They still claimed they belonged to God, but their true loyalties and affections lay elsewhere. Under the oak tree, there was an altar to the false god Baal and his female companion, Asherah. Baal and Asherah were the god and the goddess of fertility. Baal was also the storm god. So Baal and Asherah were credited with bringing rain to the land that makes the crops grow. They were credited with making livestock multiply. They were credited with causing human sexual prowess and fertility. They were credited with granting people good health and longevity. All around the world, people still worship idols today. Here in the sophisticated West, we snicker at them, but honestly, we're no different at all. We've dropped the golden statues, but we still worship the things those statues represent. Prosperity and security, the status that it brings, power, health, sexual prowess, longevity. Just like God used young Gideon to move his family back under God's authority, I believe in this season God is calling young leaders to move their families back under God's authority. And here's how God does it. First, God directs young leaders into true worship. He directs young leaders into true worship. So Gideon is starting to clue in. Are you doing all right this morning? Can get you anything? A little iced tea, lemonade, something, a snack, some coffee? Anything I can do for you this morning? You all right? Are you making it through these details of Gideon with me this morning? I know it's a little detailed, but listen, it's the word of God, and there's a message in all of this. Gideon, he's beginning to clue in that this is no ordinary visitor. He asks the Lord to wait while he goes and prepares a very generous offering, a young goat and bread from 25 pounds of flour. This was not dinner for one dinner guest. This was an offering for a god. Gideon prepares an offering fit for Baal, and he presents it in a manner that is consistent with Baal worship, not the worship of Yahweh, the true God. But listen. God takes charge, and he begins to direct Gideon's worship. He tells Gideon where to make the offering. He tells Gideon how to make the offering. He tells Gideon what to offer. For 7 years, old Joash had been hiding a prize bull, saving it to offer it to Baal. Now, you can imagine how much effort it took to hide a bull from the Midianites. For crying out loud, Gideon was hiding in a pit in a wine press to shake out a little wheat for bread, hiding from the enemy. Imagine how hard it was to hide a prize bull, and imagine the value of that animal in a market where all the livestock had been taken away. It's true today that we put much more time, we put much more effort, we put much more money into pursuing our idols than into pursuing the worship and service of the one we love. God says of that 7-year-old bull, he says, yeah, that one. He says, that'll do nicely. Bring that one and offer it to me. When God touches his staff to the offering, fire comes out of the rock and consumes the whole offering, broth and all. And now Gideon knows to whom he is speaking. Gideon had been around a form of worship his whole life, but this was the first time he ever experienced the true fire of God's presence in worship. Beloved, listen to me. In this season, I believe that God is going to direct some young leaders into restoring true worship. He's going to direct them where to worship. HTC is going to be one of those hotspots. He's going to direct them how to worship, from imperfect worship to pure worship. He's going to show them what to offer specifically. He's going to ask them to sacrifice the very thing they've been holding out and holding back from him. And they're going to do it. And for the first time in their lives, they're going to experience the fire of God's presence in worship. Don't have time to unpack it all with you, but there is a correlation between Gideon's worship and his ability to hear God's voice. The more Gideon worshiped and the purer his worship, the more clearly he heard God speaking to him. Through worship, Gideon established this constant ongoing dialogue with the Lord that lasted for the rest of his life. I want to tell you, I just feel an encouragement from the Holy Spirit today, and I'm kind of preaching to the choir, to the folks that are here. But during this corona shutdown and this slow reopening, don't abandon worship. George Barna, perhaps one of the foremost experts on Christian trends in the United States, has found that during this shutdown, 1/3 of committed Christians have just abandoned worship altogether. I'm not talking about folks watching online. I'm talking about a third of committed Christians have just tuned out completely. Listen, don't let that become your new normal. In times of upheaval, we don't need less worship, we need more worship. How does God rescue families from idolatry? He directs young leaders into true worship, and true worship forces a spiritual showdown. So now, listen, stay with me for just a minute or two more. Now, there's a problem under the old oak tree. There are two altars to two rival gods. There is an altar to Yahweh is my peace, and there is an altar to Baal, the perverted storm god. Somebody has to go. This old oak tree ain't big enough for two gods. Jesus said you cannot serve both God and mammon. You'll be faithful to one and you'll be unfaithful to the other. God tells Gideon, pull down Baal's altar and cut down the totem pole in honor of Asherah. In the morning, Gideon's father, Joash, is forced to make a decision between Baal or Yahweh. And because of Gideon's influence, because of the influence of the youngest member of the family, Joash chooses Yahweh. Pastor Ruth, in the ministry of prayer, we teach about identificational repentance and about breaking generational patterns of sin. That's when a younger person repents for the sins of their past generations. It's biblical. Many examples in the Bible, they repent, and the pattern of sin that has cycled from generation to generation to generation breaks with them. In this season, I believe that God is going to direct young leaders to make a 1-2 punch, leading them into true worship and then leading them to pull down their parents' idols and break that cycle of sin in their family. I believe young leaders are going to be at the forefront of what God is doing, and because of their passion for the Lord, older generations of lukewarm believers are going to be renewed. Want to let you know, this fall, we have some changes coming to our worship ministry here at HTC. We are turning over our worship ministry into the hands of some young leaders, and we're going to let them run with it. We're going to share more about it in weeks to come, but I want to tell you, I believe we're going to experience the fire of His presence, and we're going to pull down some idols together in the days ahead. Four statements for young leaders. Number one, God is calling, I'm going to finish, I promise, real soon. God is calling young leaders to peace. God is calling young leaders to pull down their parents' idols. Two more, very quickly. Number three, God is calling young leaders to convert their peers. When we have a personal encounter with God, God aligns our character with our God-given destiny. Gideon is a wimp. He's afraid of God. He's afraid of the enemy. He's afraid of his own father. He's afraid of his family. He's afraid of his neighbors. And then there's Gideon's name. Basically, his name means a klutzy person that breaks everything. But the Lord greets Gideon as a princely warrior. We would think about a medieval knight, noble and courageous. God saw qualities in Gideon that Gideon didn't see in himself and that no one else saw either. In the beginning, no one wanted to follow young Gideon. No one wanted to be like him. In fact, they wanted to kill him for pulling down Baal's altar. But after Gideon engaged in pure worship and after he pulled down his parents' idols, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and clothed him, the Bible says. Gideon blew the trumpet of war, and 32,000 young men responded to the battle call. The courage of one young man to stand up for God emboldened an entire generation. In this season, I believe God is calling unlikely young men and women to become leaders. God is calling some who the world overlooked and whom they thought they would never follow. The Holy Spirit is coming to give young leaders credibility. He's coming to give young leaders magnetism. He's coming to give young leaders influence. At the very end of Gideon's story, Gideon captures the two kings that lead the Midianite army. And he asked one of them, he said, describe the Israelite men that you faced in battle. I love this. This is Judges 8, verse 18. This is so cool. Remember, he's a wimp. God calls him a princely warrior. He says, I'm not a princely warrior, but God turns him by the Spirit into a princely warrior. Listen to this in Judges 8:18. When Gideon asked the two kings, he says, "Describe to me the Israelites that you faced in battle." I love their answer. They say, "They were all like you, each one with the bearing of a prince." That's precisely what God is doing in this season. God is turning young leaders into princely warriors for his glory, and they're going to rub off on his peers. All right, four statements. Number four, I'm done. Listen, number one, God is calling young leaders to peace. Number two, he's calling young leaders to pull down their parents' idols. Number three, he's calling young leaders to convert their peers. Finally, this, and I'm done. God is calling young leaders with patience. He's calling young leaders with patience. I love the patience of the Lord that is displayed in the story of Gideon. Gideon is fearful. He still had some growing in faith to do. Gideon asked God for a sign, so God made fire flare up out of a rock. And then he asked for another sign. So God made a fleece wet with dew while the ground remained dry. That still wasn't enough, so Gideon asked for yet another sign. And God made the ground wet with dew, and the fleece that would be very absorbent to moisture was bone dry. Finally, Gideon grew to the place where he stopped asking God for signs, but God knew that Gideon was still afraid, so God gave Gideon the sign of overhearing the dreams of some Midianite soldiers. Can I tell you, I believe that this is a season when young leaders are going to experience supernatural signs. I believe this is a season when they're going to experience personal encounters with the presence of the Lord, angelic visitations, dreams and visions from Him, and they're going to experience the Holy Spirit clothing and empowering them. God was patient with Gideon in the wine press. He was patient with Gideon at the altar. He was patient with Gideon on the eve of battle. And God will be patient with today's young leaders as well as they grow in their faith and their obedience. What is God doing in this season? He's calling young leaders to peace. He's calling young leaders to pull down their parents' idols. He's calling young leaders to convert their peers. He's calling young leaders in patience. Would you stand on your feet and give Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, a great big praise in this place today? Oh, come on, don't give the Lord a wimpy praise. Give the Lord a great big praise this morning. Come on, I want you to lift up your voice. Let's sing what we were singing during worship. I lift my eyes up. My help comes from the Lord.
My eyes up, my help comes from the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. I want to invite you, if you would. Listen, this is just a season when, because of all the upheaval, the enemy would love to overwhelm God's people with anxiety. But we have a word from the scriptures. Yahweh Shalom. The Lord is my peace. I want you to just take your hands, if you're willing, it's just symbolic, but would you just put them over your heart? And would you just receive the peace of God? He sent his son Jesus to make peace between us and God, and to minister peace to us, shalom, the well-being, the security, the serenity that comes from being in relationship with him. Come on, I want you to just make that confession, if you would. Would you just say it with me? Yahweh Shalom, the Lord is my peace. Come on, Yahweh Shalom, the Lord is my peace. Listen, if you're 40 and under, if you're a millennial, or if you're a Generation Z, I want you to just respond to the Lord's call. God's turning toward your generation, and he's calling leaders right now. He's calling people that he wants to clothe and equip with the Holy Spirit to just transform your whole generation. Come on, if you're 40 and under, would you just, in your heart, would you just answer to the Lord's call, and would you just say, Lord, here am I, send me. And listen, if you're 41 and over, I want you to just say, Lord, we celebrate, we rejoice. Lord, we pray into the new thing that you're coming to do. Come on, let's just pray together. Father, in this season of upheaval, we see your hand at work. History is your story. Lord, we believe that upheaval leads not to revolution. We believe that upheaval leads to revival. And Father, we pray that even over these summer months, Lord, the wind of God would blow across our country, would blow across the cities of America. We pray that your wind would blow across states. And we pray, Lord, that young leaders would begin having powerful, personal encounters with you. Lord, visit young leaders on their beds at night. Lord, I pray you'd visit them in dreams, in visions. I pray you'd send ministering angels. Lord, I pray, Father, that you would just send prophetic word. I pray that you'd release your word into their upheaval. Lord, Father, we pray that you would bring forth a generation of princely warriors, Lord, to lead our country in renewal, in awakening, in restoration. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Father, as we go our own way today, Lord, we pray your presence would go with us. We pray that you'd keep us in your peace until we come together again rejoicing. And everybody said, amen and amen. God bless you, everyone. Have a wonderful Sunday. Have a great week in the Lord. Thank you for worshiping with us today. God bless you.